This is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining us for another episode. We have another great interview this week, this time with the mean old varmint himself, Black Bart. We have Bart on. What a great talk, man. Bart is such an uplifting, positive person to talk to, really an inspiration. And it was a great, great interview. And you need to go check out. He has a new book out that he wrote with Vincent Berry called Wrestle Black Bart. It's available anywhere that you can buy books, including Amazon or Wrestleville.com. There's a link in the show notes for you to be able to pick it up. And I highly advise you to go get it. It's a great book full of lots of just unbelievable stories about everybody that Bart encountered in his career, which was everybody, right? Bart encountered them all. So go get the book. Again, there's a link in the show notes, and go check that out. But that interview's coming up in a bit. But before we get there, another thing I want to plug, and something that you guys should check out, is the Savoldi Wrestling Library, the Ultimate Wrestling, Classic Wrestling, which is it's a great streaming service that's now out there. You can find it on Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV. It's on iPhones, coming soon to Androids, I believe. Or you can find it online at classicwrestling.net. It's a really affordable sign up, and they have got so much stuff. Of course, I'm drawn to the fact that they've got WWA, right? There's Bruiser Wrestling on there, including a few episodes that that I didn't have in my vast Bruiser library. So some great stuff there, some Detroit stuff. And then there's obviously all kinds of stuff like ICW, Global, USWA Dallas. There's just so much good stuff, some world-class, late world-class stuff. And then all kinds of other stuff. They've got some documentaries on there, the El Santo films in English. There's so much stuff, man, and they're constantly adding more. You cannot beat this deal. If you're a classic wrestling fan, you can't beat the service, man. It is right up your alley. So go check them out. Again, go to classicwrestling.net. You can sign up there, start your subscription, and they do have apps available on pretty much everything. So once you get signed up, start your service, just add it on everything, right? Add it on your smart TVs, add it on your phones, just wherever that you can watch content, you're going to want to put the app on there and sign up. It is a great, great service. Highly recommended. I do have a certain, I'm a subscriber. I'm a constant watcher. I absolutely love it. I'm constantly turning it on and watching through episodes of stuff. So it is a highly advised, personal recommendation for this service. So go sign up for that service. Go to Amazon or wherever and buy Black Bart's book, and you'll be good to go with your classic wrestling content for a while to come. But to wet your whistle, so to speak, as an old folk would say, and I am an old folk, right now we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have my interview with Black Bart himself, so stick around. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number two, and Screams. All right, everyone, and welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by the legendary Black Bart. Bart, how are you?
How you doing, bud? How you doing okay, Dave?
I'm doing good, Bart. I'm doing good. I'm here.
But we finally got it set up, didn't we?
That's right. Yeah. Well, I'm stubborn. I'll keep at it till I get it. So
there you go. I am too. I didn't think we'd ever get her done, but I guess we did.
That's right. Well, you got a new book out. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but let's go over a little bit over your career. And let's start at the start. You were trained by John Shaw, who was known as Ivan the Terrible, in Dallas.
Yep.
And this is after you left college, right? You quit football. So what was that like, that transition from a college guy playing football to pro wrestling?
Well, it wasn't a big transaction for me, because we as kids growing up, we'd throw a rug out in the front yard or out in the backyard, and that was our ring, and we would wrestle.
Yeah.
And we knew how to, by watching the Von Erichs, we knew how to put all the hope. We knew all the hopes. We didn't know the names. We knew how to do it. We didn't know the choreographing of a match or anything like that. But we knew how to put hopes on each other, and we'd go out there and fight. I'd fight the whole neighborhood and wrestle the whole neighborhood and have big events and stuff like that. And when I was coming up from that, we'd go to the Sportatorium, and we'd go to Little Rogers Coliseum and Northside Coliseum in Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. And that's how I felt like I was already a part of wrestling. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't been trained by anybody or anything like that. And transaction it was easy for me. Like I joined the gym with John, and yeah. I joined the gym with John Shaw and Rick Miller was my best friend, growed up together, elementary school, as far back as I remember, me and Rick's been together. And as a matter of fact, he's got almost identically the same cancer that I've got.
Oh.
It's ironic, but
yeah, really.
He's fighting it right now just like I'm fighting it. On the cancer end of this thing, on my cancer, you know, I'm looking at on the 27th, I'm going to have an MRIs done. And I've done had radiation. I've had 25 radiations. I've had chemo and radiation at the same time. I've had the chemo. I've had about 25 or 30 sessions of that. Now we're going to look into what's my next step, what to do, you know, and the chemo and radiation has shrunk it. And it's keeping it at bay. I mean, it's still there, and it's going to, you know, but it's hopefully my option. I have other options, you know, other than getting gutted like a fish. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look good, but you look good, Bart. And I mean, just keep fighting. And that's, I think that's kind of been a sign to you your whole life, your whole career, right? You're a fighter, man. You persevere. You work hard, right? You keep at it.
Always worked hard. The good Lord was on my side my whole career, brother. And
yeah,
I mean, he put guys like Dusty Rhodes in there to help me along my way. And I by no means Dusty Rhodes was my idol, was my everything, so to speak. But you know, you go through a career, you go through, look at a person's life, and you look at what they've done and all that. I've held every belt that you can imagine. There's two or three of them I didn't hold, maybe four, but in all the territories, I wrestled the Ric Flairs, the Hulk Hogans, the Terry Hogans, I wrestled the Garvins, the Sam Houstons, all
everybody.
You probably can't mention one except the new ones. Now, I ain't been around the new ones very much.
But, no. Well, it's a different world.
Back when we tried to take care of each other, then now it don't even look like there's no mm-hmm. care in the world other than mm-hmm. just get through the match and get it done and impress yep. everybody and get the big pop. And that's all well and good. They can get by with it, brother. That's my hat's off to them. One of the main reasons I'm doing these podcasts and I'm done because I wrote a book, brother, and I want to plug my book. I want to talk about my mm-hmm. book.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get there. We're gonna talk about the book. I got a copy of your book. It was a good read, and we're gonna talk about that. Let's okay. That's why I'm just hitting some highlights from your book because I don't want to give everything away about Black Bart's career because I want everybody to go buy the book and read the stories. Because you just rattled off a bunch of names. That's just a few of them. But in your book, you talked about everybody. I mean, you mentioned everybody, told stories about everybody. And I don't want to give that all away here. Because like I said, I want people to buy the book.
This is scratching. it's just a little taste, and it ain't.
It is.
Yeah, there's more. I got more stories than you can imagine. But my whole life, brother, I started wrestling in 1970. I graduated high school. I went to spring training at Higher Payne University. I was there 4 days of 3-a-days. Mm-hmm. Okay. Rick Miller called me and said, Bart, Rick, they're opening a school of professional wrestling in Dallas, Texas. I said, sign me up. He went and paid my tuition, his tuition, because he wanted to be a referee and he wanted to be a promoter. And it may have been early 75, late 75, him and John started running towns.
Yeah.
Around here, local, Longview, Mount Pleasant, all up and through, down through that, all through in East Texas and out that way, started running towns. We realized, I was pulling the trailer. I was setting the ring up. I was wrestling the opening match. I wrestled the main event. I tear the ring down, load it up, and go to the next show. And Monday, Friday, that was a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. And brother, we made $9 for the 3 days. And I thought, man, can you make money doing this? There you go.
Well, that's what I said. You always worked hard, right? You put your time in. You trained with John. You wrestled always around Texas as the Arkansas Strangler for a while. You did a few years in the Carolinas, just kind of working the underneath. But you got a lot more exposure there. Wrestled as Rick Harris, but then eventually you went on to Georgia, got a little more experience. But I'm going to pause on Georgia for just a minute because Ole Anderson recently passed away. Do you have any good Ole stories from your time working in Georgia?
Well, I don't have none.
Was Ole as crusty and honorary as everybody says?
He was an a-hole to work with, brother. He ribbed you to death, and he was a booker. He ribbed the underneath guys like me. He did until they either stood up to him or they quit.
Yeah.
And I stood up to him, and after that, I had tons of bookings. I was steady working, and what we was looking for back then is steady work.
Right.
Enough steady work to feed our families. And what they would do, they'd give you one week, they would give you 7 or 8 bookings, and then the next week you'd have 1 or 2. Yeah. In other words, they're trying to starve you out.
Yeah, right.
The guys that stayed most of the time wound up getting pushed somewhere in the territory.
Well, speaking of guys you didn't get along with real well, you also worked around that same time, a little after, you worked in Mid-South for Bill Watson. You didn't really like Bill Watts, did you?
No, me and Bill... the reason I went to that territory was because of Ernie Ladd was the booker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I loved Ernie Ladd. I watched his football career. And Grizzly Smith was one of the assistant bookers.
Mm-hmm.
And Grizzly, I loved Grizzly to death. And then I got to know his sons real well, Snake and, Same. Snake and Shank, they become very, very close friends of mine. And you don't have wrestling friends,
right? Because
somewhere you're going to cross and somebody's going to say something, or it's just that's just the way it is.
Yep.
You don't have wrestling friends. You have acquaintances, but I did make some friends in the business, Sam Houston being one of them, and his wife, and they were very, very, very good friends of mine. But that territory, that Louisiana territory, it was a tough son of a gun to work. Yeah. A lot of miles,
long drives,
hard son of a gun to work, man. Well,
then after you came out of there around 1983, that your career really kind of changed in 83. Right, because first you went to Southeastern working for Bob Armstrong, and Bob's the first guy that really saw you and said, "Hey, we're gonna push you." Right, they renamed you Mountain Man Harris. You gave you the Alabama title. What was it like, man? You worked underneath. You put in all these time, all these miles, all these years, and here you were finally getting a little payoff, getting a little attention. What was it like? I mean, and what was Bob Armstrong like?
Yeah, Bob. Working for Bob Armstrong was a sweetheart, brother. Bob Armstrong was the sweetest, the nicest guy you'll ever meet in your life. He put that Alabama title on me, and I thought he hung the moon. I mean, somebody have that kind of thought about you and everything, you know, to think enough about you to put a belt on you. Back then a belt meant something, you know. Yep. And after that, you know, I got Dusty Rhodes called me and said, Rick, I want you to come out to Tampa, Florida. I'm going to change your gimmick.
Yep. You talked in the book about when you worked for Bob, you know, they did those vignettes and did some vignettes for you, put that belt on, and you thought, man, this is something else. And then, like you said, also in 83, towards the end, Dusty called you. And this is really, really where you, I mean, because this is where Black Bart was born, right? Dusty gave you that name.
It's where he was born, brother.
Yeah.
He put me with J.J. Dillon, put me with the Mavis Long Rocker.
Yeah, with Ron Bass. Yep.
Mike Rotundo, Mike Davis, Mike Rotundo, and Barry Windham.
Mm-hmm.
We wound up in the main feud against all the baby faces, against all the heels. It was a walking tall gimmick down there, brother.
Yep.
And we sold out everything we touched. I mean, it sold out. It was unbelievable. Yep. 16 guys. It's a 16-man territory, and we had other guys coming in and out, flying in and out, and it was a dream come true.
We were
the NWA World Tag Team Champions.
Yeah.
I held that brass knucks belt so long. I think it ought to be in there in my closet. It was because I carried it so long, but it ain't. I give it back. I give all my. I never stole the belt. Never stole the belt from nobody or anything like that. If I knew what I knew when Dusty made that call and I said yes, I'll be there. And if I know that, brother, when I was 18, it would have been a cage bar dadgum door. I'll tell you that right now, because the work, the way the working, and I mean working, I mean the way it is in the ring. You know, you lie, you hear each other, or you get. Every now and then you run one across and you just have to beat the limb piss out of them.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Yep.
And they still don't learn. But
well, like you said though, it was so hot down there, right? You guys were so hot. But then I said you were so hot there in Florida with Ron Bass. But then I think you got even hotter because then you went on to Mid-Atlantic. And Bart kind of went solo for a while after a while. I mean, you held that Mid-Atlantic title a couple times. You had this great run in Mid-Atlantic, probably the.
I was wrestling full time.
Yeah,
I didn't. I was wrestling full time. It wasn't that I wasn't working. I was working, and back then, see, that's what mattered to us.
Yeah,
I didn't, an icon, a hero. All that didn't even enter into our vocabulary. Well, all we want to do is feed our family, take care of our kids, and if you weren't booked, you didn't make no money. Mm-hmm. You know, it ain't like now you sign a multi-million dollar contract, and rather you work or not, you get paid that amount. You know, every week.
Yeah, you didn't have guaranteed money back then.
Yeah, but
you made it to Carolina. I mean, if you make it Carolina. You're making it, right? I mean, that's you're the man in Carolina.
Out in the Carolinas, they owned, including the old territory. He owned Crockett owned probably if you combined into territories, we had an A team, a B team, a C team.
Yep.
And each division, you had top guys. And then when the big shows come around, Dusty would take the top guys out of each division or whatever you want to call it, and he had his big show. You know, it was that simple.
Yep.
It was that simple. You know, and to make that kind of money back then was unheard of. I mean,
You mentioned Sam Houston.
Look around, you know, everything I got here is paid for. My land's paid for. My house paid for. Two vehicles paid for. But in comparison to the money that I made and to the money they make now.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no comparison whatsoever.
No.
It's a little taste. It's just getting a little taste of the. What you know, and that that's the truth.
Yep.
And
well, you mentioned Sam Houston, and during this Mid-Atlantic run, that's when you and Sam had your thing, right? You had some hellacious matches, man. Some bloody battles. And when I think Black Bart, I mean, I talked to Sam. I interviewed Sam just a couple weeks ago, and I told him the same thing. When I think of one of you, I think of the other, because man, those matches you had in the Mid-Atlantic
kind of goes hand in hand, don't it?
That's they do. Yeah.
Now me and Ronnie Garvin had some. But that was, you know, we were mainly out in Ohio and that area, all out there, and that's where we were.
Yeah.
Hell, I had a fan club out there that was like 900,000 strong in people, you know, and they out there cheering for me, carrying around Black Bart, everything. They was dressed like me. They was all of them had long riders, the cowboy hats, the whole nine yards. There's a Black Bart fan club. I mean, it was. Yeah. And you try, you know, Benny's going to be pissed off at me, brother, because I ain't pushing the book.
All right, man, we're going to get there. I'll take care of Vinny. Don't worry about it. I'll
call you.
You tell Vince to call me, yeah.
Go for it, bro.
I'll tell you what, everything I'm asking you, I pulled it from your book. So this is just teasing. I mean, like I said, and we're just talking a little bit. So if anybody, they read the book, they get a lot more.
There you go.
Around 86, you moved to world class, and you talked about it in your book when you first started, when you first trained. You called Fritz, right? You wanted to work for Fritz. That's what you wanted to do. And here now, finally, you get to work for Fritz in 86.
Yeah.
So what was it like working for Fritz?
You want me to tell the truth? You want me to candy coat it?
I want the truth.
You don't want the truth set you free.
Yeah, that's right.
Fritz, the thing about me and Fritz was when I was a kid growing up, Fritz von Erich was my daddy's hero. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And my daddy, Fritz von Erich, hung the moon and the sun come up because of Fritz von Erich and set because of Fritz von Erich. That's how strong my daddy loved Fritz von Erich.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that being said, I had nothing but respect and honor for Fritz. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go to work for the dude, and you're his world heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
And you not have to same, wrestle huh? his You ain't wrestling Fritz. You're wrestling his kids.
Fritz's kids, right? Yeah.
Kevin Von Erich, Mike Von Erich, Kerry Von Erich. I never wrestled David, but I was with David and went out in Atlanta. And I was with David in Japan. They were hard, to say the least.
Stiff.
They were hard. Yep. They were hard. And if David, I believe this with all my heart, if David would still be alive today, there'd be a big giant territory right here in the state of Texas. And all of us guys would be working
for David.
For David. For David. I believe that with all my heart. We'd be road agents. We'd be setting up the ring, whatever we could do to keep it going. But with him doing what happened and all that. And I love, and the thing about it is, brother, I loved each and every one of them. All of them. Kerry, I loved him to death, but there's no candy coating dope and mm-hmm. not no shows, everything. No answer for no show for no reason. There's no answer for the for the things that they'd done to this to the territory to kill it.
Yep.
They didn't even know. They didn't know that because it was they were high all the time.
That's right. Yep. And you have a chat.
I was drinking beer all the time, and I was high too. But I knew when to not when it come time to get in the ring. You couldn't go in the ring. You couldn't go in the ring.
Hi.
I mean, you're just a zombie. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you got a chapter in your book about Kerry where you talk all about him. And
I know it.
Yeah. Know but it. You mentioned David. I mean, David was the talent, man. He did it all. I mean, in that little run Kerry had, that was David's run, right? He, you know, and
like I say, it would have been if we could have kept David alive, it would have been a big difference. It would have been a big, the outcome of the Von Erichs would have been a different story.
Yeah. It
would have been a different.
And, yeah. It's weird to think about it because it seems like so long ago, but man, David would have just been hitting his prime in the 90s, you know, the late 80s and 90s. I mean, he wouldn't, you know, it seems like so long ago, but
really not. What happened was a complete accident, you know.
Were you in Japan when David died?
He flew in. I think he flew in for a week. Cause they would fly in and out a lot.
Yeah.
He checked in, but he never checked back out, bro.
Yep, yeah, that's right. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I was over there. I was over there.
Yeah, York's been alive. Yeah, I mean, you talked about in your book. You worked all over the place, right? Yeah, I mean, you worked the Carolinas again. You worked Florida again, Dallas again, Memphis again. Finally landed in the WWF for a couple of years, but it wasn't right. They weren't really doing anything with you. And well, you know,
the WWF was a high paying job, but.
Yep.
It was just to show me what I could have had. And the story, that story is in here too.
Yep.
This is
yep.
my book.
Yep. There this it is. Russell Black Bart. Yep.
Bart. Yep. It's like a wanted poster.
Yeah.
On the cover. It's called Russell Black Bart.
Yep. You and Vince Barry.
Vinny Barry wrote it, put it on paper. My stories on paper.
Yeah, I was going to ask you why did you think this was the right time to do a book? What inspired you to think this was the time?
Everybody was on my butt about Bart. You need to write a book, Bart. Need to write a book. Here it is, guys.
Now, Bart wrote a book.
I 2 years in this making of this little puppy right here. 2 stinking years of my life went into this book. I mean, I thought I had a phone growing out of each ear. Okay. And I thought I carried Vinny around when we was doing this book and putting this all down on tape and getting it on from tape to paper. The dead gum, it's like Vinny was right here in my front pocket, right here. He was right in there. He was listening to every little thing that I said.
Talked about everything, right? I mean, you mentioned your dad and Fritz. I mean, that's how the book starts, right? You talk about your dad. You talk about learning to love wrestling, watching with your dad, and him getting on to you because you would jump up in front of him in the TV when you got excited.
And you got a boot, you got a work boot upside your head. I guarantee it. He was a fan from hell, brother. As far as I know, he didn't like football. He didn't like nothing. He wanted wrestling, and wrestling was year round, and he loved it. And in the book, I've got pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't. Oh man, I lost it. There was a story. There's always been a story out there. Nobody knows my real name. They thought my real name was Rick Harris.
Yeah.
And my real name is not Rick Harris. Gene Anderson gave me Rick Harris, the name Rick Harris.
Really? See, I thought I did. I thought Rick Harris was your real name.
No, my real name is Rick Jones.
Yeah.
But on the show, I don't know if we can get this on there, but that's my dad right there.
Uh huh. Yep.
And that's me. We get a little taste. That's me when I was about 7 or maybe 10 or 11 or something like that. But this little thing was, and Vinny done this. These pictures and pictures of guys in here. There's stories about guys in here.
Yep.
And there's stories about Denny Brown. I don't know. A lot of guys, me and Denny Brown were tight. Mm-hmm. Good friends. Denny Brown wrote a little piece in here. Sam, of course, Sam wrote a little bit in here. Andrew Anderson wrote in here.
Well, and JBL. I was going to ask you about JBL, right? He wrote for you.
I get him. Wild Bill Irwin, Kevin Sullivan, the Grappler. They wrote in here. JBL, James Beards. They've all got some stories in this book and about me.
Well, JBL had a great career, and a lot of people may not know you trained JBL.
Yeah. No, didn't train. There's a difference.
Okay.
When you train somebody, it means you get them when they don't know nothing.
Okay.
JBL.
Okay, so he'd already started.
I got him ready to go in front of a crowd.
Gotcha.
How to get a crowd to react and really, really work on that in front of a crowd, being a sportatorium in this territory around here.
Mm-hmm.
We had the opportunity to do that. But
well, JBL's always, he always speaks highly of you, right? He's a big supporter of you, big Black Bar fan. He always talks about you.
I go in him and I stomp him dry. him and Bobby Duncan, boy, they were fit to be tied when they come out of that arena football stuff, man.
Yeah.
And hand pulled in the ring. We settled down and made superstars out of them.
Yeah.
With that, some of that's in this book, I believe.
Yeah. You also talk to me about your WCW run. That it's in there too. In 91, where you were teaming with Dutch Mantel and Dead Eye Dick as the Desperados, doing that, you had those vignettes where you were looking for Stan Hansen. What? How did that all come about?
that looking for Stan Hansen thing just got thrown in there. It wasn't that we were looking for Stan Hansen. We was just forming a 6-man tag, is what it boiled down to. But then. It was so. I guess it was good enough. It was supposed to be sold to Fox Network. It got nipped in the bud That story, I believe that story's in the book too. I don't want to give nothing away.
But you talk about that book. That
story's in there, and the Desperados. I like.
Yeah.
Dusty Rhodes, a whole lot of other people over there. It just disappeared.
Yep. Poof. Yep.
Poof. Read the book, you'll find out why.
That's right. Yeah. But a lot of people remember that. A lot of people remember the Desperados.
Buy the book. Read the book, you find out why, dadgummit. Everybody,
that's right.
Bart, write a book. Write a book. Okay, I wrote a book.
Well, and there's another story in there, and we're not going to give it away. Not going to give it away. But there's a big-ass story in there about a certain iconic WWF character that you say was intended to be your gimmick.
Yeah.
Right? That, you know what I'm talking about, right? And
I know exactly what you're talking about.
This is a big thing. And again, I'm not going to give this away. I don't want to talk about this because I want this right here alone is worth buying the book for, this story.
Well, I'll put it, Dusty Rhodes called me up to his room.
Mm-hmm.
We had wrestled in Big Show in Connecticut, and he called me up to the room, and
this is when you were with WWF.
I was with, right? This is in 90, 91.
Yep, you and Dusty are both there.
Yeah, and Yeah, you don't want to give it away. But Jesse called me up and made the whole gimmick.
Yep, he showed you the gimmick
on the table. He had the purple, the long mm-hmm. like a long rider jacket, but the long rider the hat. Yep. Guy had the, he had the whole gimmick laid out on the table. The next TV, they show up and Black.
It was on somebody else.
Yeah, and Black Bart's gone. That's the way the wrestling business ends. Even though both of them were my good friends, and we traveled together, and we worked together, and we lived together. We actually lived together in the Tennessee territory. We actually lived together.
And if anybody can get him cornered, Dustin Rhodes can. He could verify this story, right? Because he knew about it. Because he was there at the same time.
He's the one, Dustin, and I say, Dustin, you could, I've tried to call you, mm-hmm. and you could call me back. I know mm-hmm. you may not have a number, but I got a new number, but you got to have it don't take no brain sciences how to get my number.
That's right. Well, come on, Dustin, man, we need this verified.
But anyway, the verification, I don't really give a rat's ass.
Well, true, it's true.
it's the truth.
You know? It is. All right. And again, I people need to buy the book. That story alone is worth the book. It's worth getting the book. And again, man, you leave nothing out in this book, man. You all the way from the beginning of your childhood, growing up, through your entire career. You talk about everybody that was anybody that you encountered. I mean, because you wrestled them all. And you talk about it. You talk about every stop along the way, every promotion. You touch on them all. you don't lie. You don't mince words, right? You're up front. You tell the truth.
Our truth says the truth sets you free.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe that
20 years ago, truth sets mm-hmm. you free, brother. And sometimes it jumps up and slaps people in the face, but that still don't mean it ain't true.
That's right.
It's a truth, you know. And some of the truth you can't print. I learned that the hard way. Some of the truth you can't print because it hurts somebody or you get your, you know. But it is what it is, brother. And
like you talked about earlier, man, you've been battling some health issues, battling cancer, and you're fighting, right? You went through treatment like you talked about, and so I mean, man, we're all pulling for you, Bart. I mean, we keep fighting. You just know everybody's back behind you, man. We wish you for the best.
Let me get in there for just a minute. Mm-hmm. About that, my faith in Jesus Christ is strong. It's never been stronger. Every morning when I get up out of my bed, I put my feet on the floor and I thank the good Lord for letting me have one more day. And I was diagnosed with this cancer, and like I say, I fought injuries, I fought diabetes, in 2015 I had a 5 heart bypass. I didn't have no heart problems. Mm-hmm. It's all my veins going in and out of my heart. They needed to be repaired, and they repaired them. Yeah. They took the veins out of my legs, put them in them, and repaired them. And I have fought and fought and fought with this cancer. Man, this cancer's tough. Yep. It ain't no play. I wouldn't wish cancer on anybody. My worst enemy. I would not wish it on anybody.
Yeah.
Not even my worst enemies. I ain't got no enemies, so that takes care of that. But if if there's one person in this world, you know, that I believe in Jesus Christ, I give him all the glory. I give him all the thanks. I give him all the praise. I believe if it wasn't for him, when I opened that box up and I looked down, I seen this book, mm-hmm. and I seen this thing staring back at me. I have had accomplishment after accomplishment. I've won world titles, world tag team titles. I've been world heavyweight champion. Not a lot of guys can say that, mm-hmm. but the good Lord blessed me, and I give him all the praise and all the glory for every little thing that I have ever got, ever had. I give God all the glory. Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, and only through Jesus Christ can we get to heaven. Amen, brother. Mm-hmm. Amen. God bless each and every one of y'all, and I love you. I love y'all. I love each and every one of you. And this old cancer, you know, I'm gonna close with this. This old cancer boy, he thinks he's tough. He thinks he's bad. But guess what? Old Black Bart's badder. Old Black Bart's meaner. I'm the meanest thing west of the dadgum Pecos. And I'll tell you what, cancer, there ain't a dadgum thing you can do about it. God bless y'all. And I love each and every one of y'all.
Yep. Wait, before you get out of here, Bert, how can people get the book? What's the best way to get the book?
Oh, I'm sorry. Vinny's going to kill me.
No, get see, I didn't forget.
Get to Amazon and get it through Rassleville.com.
Okay. I'll put that link in the show notes. So all people got to do is go down in the show notes and description. Click. Very easy. There you go. Buy the book. Buy the book. Support Bart.
All right, boys.
Is there a way that they can follow you, Bart? See how you're doing and everything? Or do you just kind of keep low?
Well, I'm on Facebook.
Under Rick Harris, right?
I don't want to give my number, my telephone number.
No. Nothing like that. I was talking more social media stuff. So yeah. if people wanted to follow you on Facebook, would that be all right with you?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, more. I got 5,000. They won't let me have no more friends.
Well, I think they can still follow you though. They may not be able to friend you, but I think they can follow you. There you go. So yeah. Follow Bart and watch him kick cancer's ass.
One of them should buy a dadgum book.
That's right. And every one of you, go out and buy the book.
Hey, Black Bart, buy a dadgum book.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wrestling Fans International Association is back. That's right, the premier fan club association of the 1970s and 1980s has been revived and is back in business. Join today. It's free at thewfia.org. That's thewfia.org. You can also join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/WFIA1969.
All right, and welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. I am Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to Black Bart for coming on and talking to us a little bit about his career. Again, we just scratched the surface. If you want to hear more, if you want to go more in depth and hear some really, really great stories from Black Bart, go buy his book, Wrestle Black Bart. Again, there's a link in the show notes. You will not regret it. And while you're out there, like I said earlier, go out and subscribe to the Savaldi Wrestling Library. It is a great service. Again, links in the bio. But you're going to want to do it. You're a classic wrestling fan, obviously, because you're listening to this podcast. And it is a great, great service, a great value. And, you know, if you get to talk to any of them or whatever else, tell them Dave sent you. Tell them old Dave Dynasty sent you. But and again, thank you for joining us for another episode. Thank you for subscribing on your favorite podcast platform, for your support on social media, all your shares, and everything you do to support us. We'll have another great interview next week. We're coming back next week with one of the original members of the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, Luscious Lars Anderson, will be my guest next week. Got a great interview with Lars that you're not going to want to miss. So make sure you subscribe, click that auto download so you don't miss an episode. But anyway, thank you for your support. And until next week, when again, I'll be joined by Lars Anderson. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.